Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
This last week, I had the opportunity to sit down and have an in-depth conversation with private investigator Thomas Brennan. Tom is the private investigator that's been hired by the parents of Ellen Greenberg, Joshua and Sandy Greenberg, as they search for justice and answers in the death of their daughter. A death that was quite clearly a homicide, considering she was stabbed 20 times. Several of those stab wounds, fatal blows, which would make it a physical impossibility for her to continue stabbing herself up to 20 times. The problem with this is her death has been labeled a suicide by the Philadelphia Police Department. A department which refuses to investigate the death further and refuses to change the cause of death to homicide, which it rightfully should be. Why is that? Why is it so difficult? And why are so many refusing to speak the truth about the death of Ellen Greenberg? We discuss all of that and more in this 5-part series, our conversation with Thomas Brennan, private investigator into the death of Ellen Greenberg. New episodes every day this week, Monday through Friday, here on the podcast. Thomas, thanks for joining me. Let's start at the very beginning. How did you get connected to this case?
Two friends of mine, one a retired dentist and the other a judge in the Dauphin County Court of Common Pleas, William Tully. They both were friends of the family, and the parents were struggling. Mm-hmm. And they knew what I did, you know, that I did. I still worked homicides. So, in cold cases. So they arranged for a meeting with the parents, and we sat down, and the parents told me what in fact they were doing. This was March of 2013. Mm-hmm. And they provided me with the documentation and some photographs that they had, scene photographs that were taken by the medical examiner's investigator. I told them, I said, well, give me a chance to take a look at these, and then I'll get back to you. I got back to them, and I told them, I said, well, in my opinion, it in fact is a homicide. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, the father, Josh, he's a character. He said, well, what's this going to cost me? And I said, well, I don't make money on somebody else's grief. I said, if you cover my expenses going to Philadelphia, I said it back. I said, that'll be it.
Sure.
You don't have to worry about my time. And that's the way it's been. And that's how I got involved in it.
This is obviously a very troubling case for obviously many reasons. One of the first most obvious being the likely physical improbability or impossibility that Ellen could have stabbed herself 20 times and made it through 20 times and still survived long enough to do that. When you initially heard about this case and you saw some of that evidence and you heard the story, if we're just focusing on the manner of death, What was going through your mind when you learned about it, first being looked at as a homicide, then a suicide, homicide, back to suicide? What was your reaction to that?
I started looking at it, and, you know, I'm looking at the crime scene, you know, and there's, first of all, you know, I understand what, you know, the parents told me that, you know, the fiance broke into the apartment, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a real stormy, you know, I think it was the biggest nor'easter that ever hit Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. A lot of snow. And they had an early dismissal at Ellen's school.
Okay.
The victim. And the one thing I'll never forget what they told me right at the beginning. There were a series of phone calls, okay, about, oh, probably 10 or 15 calls, all outgoing, mm-hmm. and started with a code. And they said, look at this. See how she was evidently she was really having a problem here. Look at all these phone calls. Mm-hmm. I said, did anybody ever call them to see who they were? They said, no. So I started calling.
Sure.
They were the parents of the children in her classroom. Okay.
Yeah.
And the code was that they, you know, they didn't show where they were coming from. They didn't, you know, they didn't show Ellen's cell phone number. That's all it was.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know, that's how things started. And then you take a look at the crime scene itself, the photograph. There are no police photographs, I can tell you that right now, of the crime scene. The Philadelphia Police Forensics Unit was never at the crime scene.
Why?
Okay.
Wouldn't this just be a common sense thing to do with someone who's been stabbed 20 times?
Well, what everybody has to understand here, Tony, is that the police did not know about the stab wounds to the back of the neck or the scalp until autopsy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The next day, the 27th.
Okay.
Nobody knew about those. So the police at the scene, okay, who said this was a suicide, and I have documentation to that effect.
Yeah.
They said it was a suicide that night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They didn't move the body. They didn't do anything. They never called the forensics unit out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That night, the night of the 26th, when at 6:40, when she was pronounced by an EMS, you know, fireman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Philadelphia Police Department fireman. Nobody at that time, nobody knew about those wounds. Nobody knew about the wounds at the back of the neck. So the only thing they did was suicide. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right from day one. And well, the next morning, while Ellen's being autopsied, the victim is being autopsied, the husband, James Schwartz, the prominent attorney uncle, James Schwartzman, mm-hmm. calls and wants to get into the apartment. Okay. So the property manager told him, she said, let me call the police. So she calls the police and the police said, yeah, you can let him in.
And this, so we understand who this is, James Schwartzman. He's a prominent attorney. He's part of which family here, Samuel Goldberg or Ellen Greenberg's family?
Goldberg.
Okay, so part of
Samuel Goldberg.
Part of her fiance's family. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So the police tell the property manager, yeah, you can let him in. The property manager says, well, it's all bloody.
Mm-hmm.
The scene's all bloody. They said, well, you can call crime scene cleanups. They'll come over and clean it up. So she calls crime scene cleanups. They come over and clean and sanitize the scene.
Okay.
He comes in, the prominent attorney uncle and another individual comes in, and not only do they get a suit and shoes for the fiance, mm-hmm. for the funeral, okay, they also remove all of the laptops. They remove the victim's laptop, her work laptop, her personal laptop, and her cell phone, and all of her credit cards, her wallet, everything. He takes it all, including the fiance's laptop also, okay? So anyone who says that, well, you know, anything that comes out those laptops at all in the future can be challenged, mm-hmm. okay? Because the police should have seized those right at the scene, but they didn't. They left.
Is that because they were still thinking of this as being a suicide, so there wasn't a lot of oversight? Or
take them along.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have, like I said, an incident memo by a uniformed police officer that was at the scene, okay? And he says in his incident report, okay, it's titled Suicide, mm-hmm. okay? Suicide. And it says homicide was there, and so was the medical examiner's office, okay? Mm-hmm. Guess who shows up to 28?
Who?
At the apartment, the police.
Okay.
Perform a search.
All these days later.
Now, the medical examiner said on the 27th, this is a homicide.
Okay.
So now, because the scene was never, ever secured, now they have to go out and get a search warrant. Okay. Sure. To go back in and search the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are they going to get from the apartment? Nothing, because it's been cleaned and sanitized.
Yeah.
About the only thing that you could do, maybe you might get some results with a luminol test.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even do that.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
There's more to come in my conversation with Thomas Brennan, private investigator into the murder of Ellen Greenberg. New segments playing Monday through Friday this week on the podcast. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of this very intriguing story. Stay with us.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.